The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie where Danny DeVito plays a guy who picks up and has sex with a hooker? Since when?
The movie where Kathleen Turner tries to murder Michael Douglas several times, but he's still the asshole.
The movie is starring famed Homer Simpson voice actor Dan Castellaneta, where he doesn't say a goddamn word.
This is The War of the Roses on Blockbuster Nostalgia. Hey, blockheads, welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast that's counting down the top grossing films of the 1980s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I am Francisco Landin.
Welcome back. We are down to the War of the Roses. Let's get some money.
Yeah, War of the Roses. All right, so back in 1989, this movie made $86.888 million.
888 with the little infinity sign over it.
Yeah, going on forever. So it's one of those old equations on your fucking calculator that you just hit it and it just goes on forever.
Goes on forever.
But that was a lot of fucking money. We're deep in the $80 million point of this. And then it's 1989. This is the third in the trifecta.
That's right. And we've talked about every single one of them in the 80s for between like 84 and 89. These three pretty major stars made three obviously huge hit movies. They all were in the top 100.
They're all fucking Michael Douglas, Kathleen Turner, Danny DeVito.
That's right.
It was a winning combination. I mean, the first two the first two were, it was a sequel.
Right. Yeah. Jewel of the Nile and Romancing the Stone.
Yeah, they're the same characters.
Same characters, yes.
This, completely new characters, beats both
unless
of them. Unless they're the same characters?
Unless they're the same characters.
You never know.
Maybe they're reincarnated.
One of them, maybe?
It totally does not make sense in continuity, but
I don't know. Maybe Michael
Danny Douglas. Danny DeVito could, actually. Not Michael Douglas, because Michael Douglas, you first meet him as college.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
But Danny DeVito totally could have been that same sleazeball who then later became a lawyer.
Became a very good lawyer.
A very good, slimy 80s lawyer.
Although, how does it end in
I'm sure he gets away. He's Danny DeVito.
Right, he gets away. I'm pretty sure he gets away. But this movie blows the other two out of the water, which is crazy.
In what way?
This is the third one.
Oh, in terms of money.
In terms of money. This is the third one. And I guess that makes sense because it builds up.
Sure.
And then you're talking about a movie that's fucking bananas.
It is a pretty bananas movie.
This is a crazier movie than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember ever watching this movie, but I remember seeing clips of it and like, and knowing about it and stuff like that. And I thought this was going to be like just a funny romp.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
This movie, we're going to get into it, but the tone of this movie really.
Oh, yeah.
It's all over the place a little bit. And it's interesting. I don't know that it's entirely successful in that, but it makes for a hell of a watch.
It is successful in the style and like, yeah, like you're right, in the entertainment value.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And
it's like watching a car crash.
It is.
Yeah.
But not in a, like, I don't want, like, BVS is watching a car crash in a bad way.
Yeah.
This is watching a car crash in like an interesting, like slow motion car flipping over 18 times in a movie kind of way.
This is a good like edible car crash.
Yes, and just, where you're just like everyone walks out okay and you're like, all right, that was fun.
That was a crazy fun time. Yeah.
As opposed to like the kind of car crash where 15 people were killed immediately or whatever.
Yeah. This movie is about divorce.
Yeah, it sure is.
It is about,
hey, you know, new year, let's talk about some.
Let's talk about fucking divorce.
Just get right into it.
Oh, man. It is a fun movie to watch, and it is a crazy movie to watch. And I've seen, okay, so Danny DeVito directs this movie.
Yes, and Danny DeVito, gotta say, good job by you.
Best movie, best Danny DeVito directed movie.
Probably.
I would say by far.
Probably.
Because, okay, so Danny DeVito directs a movie back in 1989. Before that, he did Tromao from the Train.
That's a good movie.
Yeah. After that, he does Hoffa, which was crazy.
Pretty good.
Yeah, still pretty good, though.
Yeah.
Matilda.
Yeah, it's fine.
Death to Smoochie.
Yeah,
I like Death to Smoochie quite a bit. It's pretty fun. Pretty fun R-rated comedy.
Yeah.
Which, when it came out, Death to Smoochie was like in the late 90s.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, early, I think it was like 2001.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. Early 2000. Early 2000, no real big R-rated comedies.
Yeah, yeah, that was kind
of gone away. We were in the middle of the PG-13 era between 1995 and 2005.
McKay came in and like started doing the R's.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Before like Will Ferrell and McKay comes in. But it was PG-13 town.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
And Death to Smoochie comes in, it's R-rated.
And it's a crazy concept and everything.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then he does Duplex, which is not that good.
But I never saw that one.
Yeah, that's...
Sorry, Danny. I love you. I never saw that one. Yeah, I never saw that one. I didn't know you directed it.
But by far, I think, because I've seen Tomorrow from the Train, I've seen Hoffa, I've seen Matilda, I've seen Death to Smoochie, I've seen Duplex. You're going to go this one hard. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Directing style, his style is pretty good.
I will say,
good.
From a director standpoint, I totally agree. I do like Throw Mama from the Train a lot as a movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But this one, in terms of his impact, in terms of the way it was shot, because the interesting thing about this movie is it's, I don't know that it's directly referencing anything, but it is very much shot in a 1950s...
Yeah, like noir.
Kind of noir, kind of romance. Like, there's parts that are romance, there's parts that are noir. There are parts that are, like, straight up, like, old school horror.
Oh, yeah. No, like, we get to a point where we're talking about, like, Italian horror. Like, Suspiria style, lighting.
Absolutely.
And fucking camera angles. Like, it is a very well-directed movie. And
it
then,
really is. There's some really nice-looking shots, some really nice-looking lighting.
Yeah, and you get, like, this cool, even, like, a 1950s... Like Catherine Hepburn feel at times.
Absolutely. Who's Kathleen Turner, was always compared to her.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you get that. You get that in the romance in the beginning.
For sure.
And you get that in the like when they first start to break up, you get that like that feel that like Catherine Hepburn like at odds with each other type of like anti-romance type of deal.
Like what if McClintock they had attempted to kill each other?
Yeah, exactly. So it's very well directed by Danny DeVito.
It is. So, first of all, kudos to Danny DeVito. Hell of a good job by you.
Yeah.
So, let's go through this movie as we normally do. We're going to go through it a little quicker, I think, this time.
It actually starts off really romantic.
Yeah, of course. You have to.
You have to start off really romantic in a movie like this about a marriage that just falls apart really fucking hard.
Well, and because one of the things that... both in this movie and in real life that makes it such a impactful hate is how strong the love is.
Exactly.
And especially from Michael Douglas throughout the entire film continues to be very much in love with Kathleen Turner.
Yeah. Although she does point out at one point that she's like, I don't think you care so much about how you feel about me as much as you care about how I feel about you.
Yes. I think there is definitely a part of him
super
that...
super insecure about...
Exactly. Yeah. The idea that she would not want him anymore...
is
he
huge.
Can't, his ego can't handle
that. Yeah, exactly.
For sure. But the idea that he is still, throughout everything, whether or not it's his own ego or whatever, like he's still very much obsessed with her in a way.
Yeah.
And that comes from the beginning and from their passion and everything else.
And it's a very common thing, too.
Sure, sure.
But so we start off with a very nice romantic story, which is like it's raining, the town... Well, actually, we start off with Danny DeVito.
Yes. So this is a story...
telling this story.
Exactly. Yeah. The whole thing is bookended by Danny DeVito telling this story to our old friend Homer Simpson.
Yeah, Dan Castellaneta.
Yeah.
Dan Castellaneta, who voices Homer Simpson... doesn't get a fucking word in this movie.
That's right, which is crazy, yeah. And he doesn't just do Homer. I mean, he's done a ton of fucking work.
He's done a lot of work. And in 1989 is...
Just as The Simpsons is starting up.
So he's just working.
Yeah.
He's just trying to
just
get
a working
job.
Actor.
Yeah. He's a working actor. He gets to be just a regular looking dude in this movie.
Yeah, exactly. Because he's kind of like he's a bald, like,
yeah, he's
not kinda, old, but not super young, just kind of dude.
The typical type of like balding, semi-successful guy, probably.
Sure.
But
and,
yeah.
I mean, you can imagine at that time, Danny DeVito, Michael Douglas, Kathleen Turner. Yeah, whatever. I'll sit there. Who cares?
Yeah. And Danny DeVito's telling him the story because he's getting a divorce. But he's like, let me tell you something about divorce.
Yeah,
and he's telling him about the cigarette, and then he doesn't, he's smoking like crazy.
Yeah.
But he's like, I stopped smoking for a long time until Kathleen Turner's character.
Yeah.
So he tells
him. And he also, there's that great line where he's like, I'm not charging you for this. I'm not starting the clock yet. And when a man who makes $450 an hour offers to tell you a story for free, you should listen.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Checks out.
Yeah, for sure.
So he starts telling him the story, and then...
You're right. It starts in a very romantic way, where Kathleen Turner and Michael Douglas in this, like, rainstorm in... I don't know where they're supposed to be.
I'm guessing it's, like Rhode Island, maybe, or, like, Maine. Yes,
it's somewhere up in, like, the East Coast.
Yeah, like, super high East Coast, because, like, it's by the ocean.
Oh, for sure. They're by the ocean, yes.
He said Nantucket.
You're right. It is Nantucket.
He says Nantucket.
You're right.
So the storm is knocking, is like going crazy, but there's an auction going on, and they're at this auction, and they both see this little figurine that they start bidding.
They go into a bidding war.
A bidding war for like $50.
Yeah. You know,
it's charming.
This is supposed to be like the late 60s, early 70s. Yeah. So it's very charming, except for Michael Douglas is blonde in this, and that's not good.
And it was weird looking.
That's very weird.
His hair is
Michael Douglas should not be blonde.
Also,
ever.
Michael Douglas is 45 in this movie, right. And at this point, he's playing 25.
Yeah.
So, not buying it.
No, not even a little bit.
She wins him over. She wins the.
Well, they kind of win each other over. She wins the thing, and then he starts talking to her.
She's like, you know how much that's worth and all that stuff. And then, like, let's do this. And then she's like, I used to be a gymnast, which is a big open.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then it doesn't stop there.
No, because he's like, oh, fucking really? Like, I don't know. And so and she's like, yeah, check it out. And then she does this awesome splits thing where she, like, goes down and splits and spreads her legs open. And then he looks at her legs spread open and then goes past it to the pier. And then he has a line where he's like, I love Nantucket. And then he's like, hey, why don't you come with me? I have a great idea. And then he cuts to them fucking.
Yes.
Which is the best
idea.
That's
the best cut. That might be one of the best cuts in cinema history. I have a great idea. Cut to fucking.
Cut to like hard fucking. Yeah. And it's really good sex too.
It is. Yeah. She again, like they're both loving it.
God bless the 80s R-rated comedy.
Yeah. Isn't even that explicit, but it's just...
But they're clearly fucking.
In terms of, like, you don't see any nudity.
No, you don't see any nudity, but, I mean, they're clearly fucking.
I mean, it's
fucking.
Explicit in that, yes, they're fucking, they are both, like, orgasming.
Yeah, and then she talks about how multiple orgasms. She's like, I didn't know I was multi-orgasmic until I met you and all that stuff. And then he has a cool line where he's like, one day we'll be telling our grandkids this story. And I was like, cool, you're telling your grandkids about how you had multiple orgasms. Exactly. That's pretty fucking rad.
I fucked your grandma so good. She was just, oh, man, it was amazing. She was squeezing my back. It was incredible.
I want to be that guy.
You should see the scar. I still have the scar from where she's just scratched really, really deep. Just super deep on my back.
I want to be able to be like, me and your grandma, we met, we had a good time. And then... best sex I ever fucking had.
Yeah.
She came like 13 times. And then I feel like I'm going to say that twice.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to be like, come here. 13 times. If you can do that, great grandson.
Yeah.
Then you're good.
Exactly. Yeah. You got a lot to live up to.
Yeah, you got a lot to live up to. I can rock some Kathleen Turner.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he had to say.
That's pretty great. So then the next section of the movie, we get continuous time jumps.
Yeah, the kids are little.
Yeah.
And you get that he's trying to start off his lawyer thing.
That's right.
And she buys him a car, awesome old school car.
Yeah.
And they can't afford it, but she's like, it's Christmas.
And also she's like, I believe in you.
Yeah, you're
going to
be rich and we're going to be fucking great. And then we skip again. To him actually being really fucking rich.
Yeah. Yeah. Successful. He's become super successful.
It really is. It's a very sincere, like, opening whole, like, sequence stuff. Because she buys him the car. Very cute. And then when he's successful, we go through this whole thing about Kathleen Turner working really hard on the house.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. So, well, first there's the scene in the apartment where they kind of have a little bit of a fight because... she's trying to tell this story and he interrupts. That's the same scene where Danny DeVito gets a foot job by a prostitute.
Okay, so yeah, we have to talk about this scene. It's fucking great.
I mean, it is a pretty cool scene.
So Michael Douglas is trying to impress his bosses.
Right. So he brings his bosses over.
He's not partner at this time.
That's right. Yeah. They're living in this. I mean, they say it's an apartment, but also that apartment is nicer than any house I've been inside.
Yeah. And they and where they live, it's fucking expensive. Yeah. The whole time he's trying to impress his bosses. Then DeVito's there. He's not trying to become partner. He even says it himself, right? But he's like, he's like at level with him. Yeah. He brings a hooker over. Because he's Danny DeVito.
Of course. And he doesn't give a shit, which again, because he's Danny DeVito.
Again, yeah. So the whole time, she's like rubbing her foot on his crotch. And then he does this great fucking thing, which I loved. And it's well, super first of all, sexy.
We should mention, you've seen a million movies where the girl puts her foot up in the guy's crotch.
Yeah.
This is a glass table.
Everybody can see it. Everybody can see it.
Everybody can see it. Kathleen Turner is looking right at it.
Yeah.
The old lady. Yeah. There's two old ladies and two older guys. And the one old lady seems completely oblivious, even though she keeps being like, well, but what? That's interesting. And then like.
Yeah. No,
like,
she's talking about like, what is this? It's not apples. Yeah. That's just stupid.
Yeah. It's just dumb shit. But the other old lady clearly sees it and is like. She has an old lady reaction. Yeah. She old lady reacts to this foot job that's happening in plain sight, basically, because it's a glass table.
And then, you know, the coolest thing. So she puts her foot square on his crotch. He gets the knife and cuts her pantyhose. And then, like, so rips, which is fucking sexy as fuck, rips the pantyhose off her feet.
So she's got bare feet. And then the coup de gras,
gets the like jelly from the food.
Gravy or whatever.
And then rubs it between her toes and shit, which is.
And whole time he's like, oh yeah, that's really good, isn't it?
Yeah. Isn't that really delicious?
Isn't that really good and delicious? Like, just totally. Oh.
I am not a foot guy.
No, not at all.
I've never been a foot guy. I've never understood the foot thing.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm not.
No, not judging. Thing, I am done with everything else. I have done some crazy shit. I know with everything else, but the foot thing I've never got. But I understand how Danny DeVito's sexing it up pretty fucking good. Oh, yeah.
Well, because it's the taboo of it.
Yeah, exactly. Michael Douglas is like, hey, you tell this story about how we got this crystal.
And then
she starts telling a story and a very realistic.
Everyone's like, whatever.
Very realistic. She has no idea how to tell the fucking story. And he gets fucking frustrated. And then he's like,
he gets right to the punch.
You know, we fucking, and then this happened and this happened. And that's how we got it.
Yeah.
And then she's clearly very annoyed by it.
Right. So they have a little fight that night in bed. But by the end of it, they're all kind of like happy again. And
A little bit.
In a realistic way. There's like, obviously, there's still some tension there. But they come to a point where they're like, you know, kind of they're holding hands again and kind of giggling. And they're like, all right, well, you know, we still love each other.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever been with a girl who cannot tell a fucking story. It is fucking brutal.
Yeah.
I've
been with people that cannot tell stories.
Yeah. Yes. And it's hard because half of it is me being like, is it me?
Yeah.
Am I the one that is just getting frustrated at this? But like, get to the fucking point. Like, you don't know how to tell a story.
Well, even and not girls or guys or anything. No, people. Like there was that guy. Not too long ago at Shay's Lounge in Tucson, Arizona, that was trying to retell jokes that was just very, very bad at it.
Yeah, he was trying to tell the normal joke.
Everyone was getting very angry at him for being bad at telling jokes.
God damn it, fucking practice your jokes before you come out with your jokes.
Yeah. Practice your type 5, motherfucker.
Yeah, all you need is to fucking nail like 3 of them.
Yeah.
But practice those.
Yeah. But yeah, the point of that scene is that there is some tension there, but they're still like that's just a married couple thing.
Yeah,
still love each other. They're still good.
She makes a snide comment. He apologizes for it. Like it's a thing.
Yeah,
and then
you cut again. Now they want to buy a house, and they finally find this amazing
Kathleen Turner finds this house.
Very funny scene.
It is. She apparently every house that she likes, she writes a note. And says, I really love your house. If you ever want to sell it, contact me. And she goes to that person. And
leaves it on the door.
And leaves it on the door. This time, she finds a fucking house. Her kids are like, you've been doing this for a year. She's like, whatever.
Her kids, which, by the way, this is also another little funny bit.
Yeah.
So in the very first, once they have the kids and the kids are tiny, she brings them like these Christmas sweets and stuff. And Michael Douglas is like, I don't give them candy.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, no, no. If you don't give them candy, they'll become obese because they'll become obsessed with it. But if you do give them candy, they're fine. And then the next time we see them, they're super
fat. Yeah, they're just little fat fucking kids. In fact, they're so fat that they come down and Kathleen Turner and Michael Douglas say goodnight to him. And then the next thing that is said is Danny DeVito saying, I used to be a chubby kid too.
Which, again, Danny DeVito.
Which is funny because he's still a chubby kid.
Of course he is. He's Danny DeVito. He's forever
45 a chubby kid. And a chubby kid, exactly.
That is great. But yeah, we cut to then, she's going up to the house to drop off the note. The door opens.
And the lady is like, can I help you? And she's like, can I see the owner of the house?
No. She was just like, oh, I was just going to leave a note. And she's like, oh, that's sweet. Come in.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, okay. So she goes in. And before she can say anything, the lady that greets her at the door is just like, well, you know, thank you so much for stopping by. I know it means a lot. And you see in the background, clearly a funeral is happening. A funeral.
It's just pretty funny.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then she goes on like, oh, you know, I don't know what to do with this house. I wish I could just sell it to somebody. But I don't want to sell it to some random stranger.
Yeah.
So obviously, Kathleen Turner lies her ass off.
Yeah.
And eventually they buy this house.
And they buy this fucking house that Kathleen Turner worked pretty hard to get. And right. Then we get this whole thing about Kathleen Turner working really to make it a home.
Yeah.
And if you've seen Mother.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. We can't go into that. But
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. But it's
but there's a really good scene where they're very first moving in and then Michael Douglas has to go to work.
Yeah, and it's a and day it, that they move in. Yeah.
It's the day that they move in, so then she has to unpack and start putting stuff together. And it is very much that classic, not so much now, because now the economy is so bad that everyone has to work.
Yeah.
But it is very much that old school idea of like, from Michael Douglas's point of view, like he's busting
bringing all
his
the money
ass yeah. to make all of the money to provide everything. But from Kathleen Turner's point of view, he's just gone, leaving her to do all of the work.
Yeah, and she's doing all the work to make it a home.
Exactly.
And it really does a really good job at that. I really like that because we get the sacrifices and stuff from both sides. So when you get to it's interesting when you get to the actual like fighting over the house. It makes sense on both sides.
It does.
I mean, they both go insane. But
some
it's true. There's lines where she's like, I put 15 years in this house. And he's like, that was my money that you were spending. Yeah. It's easier to spend it. It's harder to earn it.
Sure. Again, different perspectives.
Yeah, different perspectives.
From a certain point of view.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it does a good job of balancing those two things. And this is when we start getting into trouble time.
Yeah, this is when we start. Oh, so we start getting into like crazy trouble time.
Yes.
And it's what was the breaking point?
Well, I think it's the heart attack, not heart attack.
Yeah.
So
she's got a contract. She wants him to read.
Right.
He's being a little bit dick about it, but this is he's being a little bit of a dick about it. And then she's like, I don't even fucking want you to read. They're just bickering.
Well,
it's all bickering.
I mean, a couple of things happen. So first of all, the kids are 17. They're about ready to go off to college.
They're
so
twins, which we figured out.
They're
later.
Twins, which, yeah, we didn't realize until the moment that they were like, they're both leaving.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're both 18 and leaving.
Yeah. The Danny DeVito sets up that she's basically spent her entire life raising the kids and making this home perfect.
Yeah, everything.
Everything
from the
perfect,
floorboards.
Yeah.
Floor,
the
chairs,
the statues,
art. She did the furniture.
The furniture,
she
everything.
Finished all the tables and stuff. She did that shit herself.
Exactly.
Because he was making so much money, she's got nothing to do.
Right. So she's made everything perfect. Everything's been about the kids and the house. And so now the kids are leaving and she's like, doesn't know exactly what to do. So she decides she's going to start this business.
Yeah.
And that's where the contract comes in.
That's right. All right. So it's the pâté.
Yes.
She makes pâté.
And eventually this becomes a full-on catering thing from what we can tell.
Yeah. Her friend loves the pâté so much that she sells her a pound of fucking goose liver or duck liver pâté or chicken liver, whatever the fuck it is, for $35.
It is duck.
Yeah. So it's a liver pâté for $35, which, again, adjusted for inflation, that's $42,000.
That's right. Which will buy you approximately 15 ducks.
Yeah. Especially 15 liver ducks.
15 duck livers.
You can't
surprisingly,
just use
the full duck, only $1 a person.
Yeah, but
duck.
You have to go through the fucking duck.
But you have to go through the duck, and those livers, they're so expensive.
Yeah. Also, ducks are shitty, so fuck those. Fuck those dudes.
Fuck ducks. Yeah. I mean, don't fuck ducks. That would be illegal.
Mm-hmm. Is it though?
Although Daffy.
The sexiest of all ducks?
Yeah, no. Now that I say that out loud. No, but you know how there's like Lola Bunny for the like bunny freaks? Yeah. Was there no, there was no Lady Daffy, was there? There's no like Lady Duck?
I feel like there was a, there's got to be one cartoon or two cartoons.
There's got to be, right?
But it's still not enough
to be a thing.
Yeah.
I think just because Space Jam is like the greatest movie ever made that like.
Oh that my God, don't become... say that. Don't say that. But like, I don't know if you remember, there's a great cartoon, and we talked about this before, the great cartoon where Daffy Duck is about to get killed because he's been hunted by fucking Elmer.
Sure.
And or is a Porky Pig. I can't remember which one it was, but he's like, let me just say bye to my family.
Oh,
and
That is goes, Daffy, I think.
Yeah, it's Daffy and his wife. Yeah. He's like crying and he's got like four kids and he kisses them all goodbye. And I think it's Porky Pig. And Porky is like, oh, well, I can't kill you now. You have a family and stuff. And he's like, oh, thank you. And then he leaves. And then when he like hears something and he comes back and it's just him and his buddies were pretending to be his wife and shit that. Yeah. So there's no lady duck. It is just another male duck. It's just a bunch
of cross-dressing ducks.
Cross-dressing, cigar-smoking, like whiskey-drinking, poker-playing ducks.
Yeah, well.
It's the best of friends.
I mean, yeah, sure. And I mean, we never know Daffy's orientation.
We never do. He does.
He could be a free-swinging dude. We don't know.
He does hoot a lot.
Yeah.
He does jump around a lot. I don't know if that means, but
I don't know.
I don't.
I'm not generalizing or stereotyping.
No. He can be whatever he wants.
Yeah. Look, Daffy's a free bird.
Yeah, that's true. What do we get?
There's a Skinner tangent we could go off there.
Yeah. Is it Who Framed Roger Rabbit that they're together, right? Donald
Duffy. Yeah, Duffy, when they do the piano battle.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's a good battle.
That's a good battle. A really fun bit.
That's a good bit. Yeah.
And they do a fun job in that they pair those two in that battle. And then later in the movie, you get the great Bugs Bunny, Mickey Mouse scene.
Yeah, falling.
Where he's like, do you have a spare? I don't think you want it.
Yeah.
I want it. All right, give it to him.
That's crazy. And
it's a spare tire.
Yeah. It's also funny that, but because they're like Mickey Mouse to Bugs Bunny, it's like a 20-year difference in when Mickey Mouse started to when Bugs Bunny started.
Sure, yeah.
Right, so like their peaks are 20 years apart, but they're so iconic.
I don't know if their peaks are though.
When do you think Mickey Mouse peak?
Probably now, but no, like
Mickey Mouse peaks now.
No, peak Mickey Mouse was probably like, I don't know, the 50s, 60s. Like, I don't think it was Steamboat Willie. That wasn't the peak.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Yeah,
he was just a whistling. Yeah. Weird mouse.
No, like peak was once like Disney became a thing. Once like
also Mickey Mouse, not the best peak. It was like Goofy was the best peak.
No, Goofy's way better than Mickey Mouse.
Way better.
Those Goofy cartoons where it's like
the instructional shit, like how to dance. God.
Those are the best Disney cartoons ever.
Fucking great! I had to watch that for I took a driver's ed class because I got speeding or some shit. But we watched that one where...
Vehicular manslaughter, Francisco.
It was vehicular manslaughter, yes. I did kill several people. I mean, you know, every now and then.
I mean, people, that's their technical classification. Yeah. Francisco being a raging racist does not recognize them as people. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, maybe if they're Christian, maybe I'm okay. Yeah,
exactly. That's what they get for worshiping the wrong God.
So yeah, I took several classes for my vehicular manslaughter.
Yeah.
One of them showed the Goofy cartoon where when he gets behind the wheel, he changes into like a piece of shit driver. Yeah. And he's trying to drive people over and shit like that. It's fucking great.
No, those instructional Goofy videos are the best thing Disney has ever done.
The sports one, the dancing one. So that's peak right there, yes, man. Absolutely. That's my fucking favorite.
Absolutely.
I mean, other than the movies. The movies are different, but...
Yeah. In terms of the cartoons.
Yeah,
in terms of the short version, like shorts and stuff. Yeah.
Remember when that Disney Channel started and I thought that that's what they were going to show?
No. They just show 12-year-old live action bullshit.
Oh, God damn it. And they show garbage.
Well, and now they don't even put any budget into anything. So even the cartoons they do have are made with like a fucking
With shoestring $2 budget.
Yeah, it's like we'll get the interns to animate this.
And again, you talked about this. All the backgrounds are the same all the fucking time.
Oh yeah,
it is fucking garbage.
No, it was crushingly disappointing to me to learn that they're finally doing cartoons of like Big Hero 6.
Yeah.
And like Tangled and like all of these like hit movies that they've had.
And it looks like fucking
trash. My gosh, it's garbage time.
Although that Mickey Mouse house or whatever.
The ones with the shorts. Yeah. Those are actually pretty good.
Yeah, they're like a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are actually pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, those aren't bad. So anyway. Oh, also the Star Wars ones look like garbage too.
Oh yeah. Everything after Jenny Jatomsky.
Yes.
The Star Wars cartoons.
Yes.
They're rough.
Yeah, they're real rough. But especially now, it's like at least Lucas put at least a little bit of money into it.
Yeah. Like
they don't put shit into them now.
It is all similar fucking backgrounds.
It's the exact same fucking backgrounds. Yeah. It's the same character designs. It's just bad. It's bad.
Yeah, it is really fucking.
I'm sorry, Freddie Prinze.
But all I wanted, man, all I wanted when Disney Channel started, and now all I want is just cool fucking old school Disney cartoons. That's all I want. All kids love all old school Disney cartoons, but they don't even fucking put that shit in there.
They only want 12-year-old girls that have secret identities as rock stars.
Are you talking about one Hannah Montana?
That's like 12 years old. I don't know why. Yeah, that's not even a thing anymore, right?
Nope. No. There's some sort of younger, statutory rapey.
Yeah, I'm sure. What was the one where they were living in like a fucking hotel? And it was like twins.
The two twins that, and then they were in a cruise one time and shit.
Sure.
But that's also 10 years ago.
Yeah, probably. Look, I'm old.
We are fucking old, yeah.
We are both old.
We have no idea what's happening on the Disney Channel
I've not had cable in a while.
Not even in a little bit. I have no idea what's happening on Disney Channel.
I have the internet. I don't know.
So
anyway, speaking of the internet, you know what you can do on the internet? You can follow our sponsors.
Sponsor time.
So our first sponsor is The People's Choice Video
Express, where you can go and rent this actual movie.
That's right. And all of the other Michael Douglas, Danny DeVito.
Romancing the Stone and Jewel of the Nile.
Both available at People's Choice Video.
$1.99 for 7 days.
That's right.
Fucking like 35 cents a day or
something. That's ridiculous. Plus, Thursdays, 2 for $1. Mondays, only 99 cents.
So you can get, you can get that shit for $1 for 7 days.
That's ridiculous.
Brings it down to like 17 cents a day.
That's absolutely preposterous.
Yeah, and shame on you for not taking advantage of it all the time.
For sure. So if you're in Southern Arizona, definitely check out People's Choice Video. If you're not, you should at least follow them on Facebook because they post cool stuff.
Yeah, they're super cool.
Speaking of following that stuff on Facebook, there's Beer Geek Bakery.
Beer Geek Bakery.
Francisco's rocking the shirt.
Yeah, I got a Beer Geek Bakery t-shirt. You can order them now. Get pastries made with local craft beer.
Delicious craft beer.
Yeah, very delicious craft beer.
It is
in the actual pastry.
Yeah, it is. I had two pastries today. I had a brownie and some sort of mango like cookie.
Yeah.
Both were incredibly good.
Yeah. Very delicious. There's events happening all the time. You can go online on Instagram and on Facebook and follow Beer Geek. And you can see the events that are coming up and go get a flight, get some treats, get some beer.
Yeah, it's what more could you ask for in life?
Yeah.
Except for, I guess, a gymnast that will totally have awesome sex with you.
Like Kathleen Turner?
Yep. First of all, Kathleen Turner actually a real gymnast. Yeah.
Second of all, this character does some fucking awesome gymnast shit.
Yeah, she does.
Oh, and it's all sexy.
But there it is also sexy. But also there's a point later. So obviously the relationship is falling to shit. And the big turning point happens. Michael Douglas thinks he's having a heart attack. It ends up being something else. I don't remember
He gets a tear in his heart. So
It's not in his heart. It's like there's like a tear in his
in his aorta or
I don't even think it's that. I think it's in the muscles or something. Like, yeah.
So when he does, he.
When but they rush him to the hospital. He thinks he's dying.
Yeah, he thinks he's dying. So he's like, I want to write a note for my wife.
And it's a really sweet note.
It is a very sweet note. It's like I love you and I could never be the person that I was
without
you.
Yeah, it's like everything I have ever done, like I owe to you. You are my rock, my love. Like, I love you so much. Like,
And then they tell him like it's not nothing.
It's not
deadly. Like you have a little tear.
Fine.
You have a tear in your muscle and it feels like a heart attack. It's not a real heart attack. They call Kathleen Turner. She's like, oh my God, my husband has a heart attack. And she leaves. And then would they tell him he's going to be okay? She never shows up to pick him up.
That's right. So he's waiting there with Danny DeVito for her to pick him up. She never shows up.
Which is fucking brutal.
Brutal. So finally, he takes the train home.
Yeah, with Danny DeVito.
With Danny DeVito. He gets home, takes a shower. No one's there.
No
one's there. Kids aren't there. She's not there. No one's there. He takes a shower. She finally gets home and kind of plays it all off like...
She's like, oh my God, I'm so glad you're okay.
Well, she's not even that. She's just like, oh, you know, hey, you're great. Like, it's great
to
you're
fine. Yeah, no, she's like, I'm so glad to see you and kisses him and stuff like that.
And he's like, you didn't show up. And she's like, oh, but I called. They said you were fine.
And yeah, he's still like, all right. We're just two dudes.
We are just two dudes. So here's the thing about the next hour of this movie and the next like 30 minutes of this podcast is we are two dudes. So
Kathleen Turner is fucking insane.
God damn it. She's such a fucking bitch in this movie.
Oh my God. But I mean, he goes insane too.
He does.
There is a point later on where he's like doing where he's drinking and doing that, like where I'm like, all right, I get it. I get like he's being insane, but she doesn't show up to pick him up to the hospital. That is fucking shitty.
And then the conversation they have after this. So, first of all, you learn that she didn't tell the kids.
She didn't even tell the kids. And then he reads her that note.
Yes. And she has no reaction to it.
Yeah. She's just like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Which is
he hands her the note. First of all, he hands her the note. He's like, I wrote this for you when I thought I was dying.
And she's like, I can't read your fucking handwriting.
And he's like, all right, I'll read it. And then he reads this really touching note and she's just like, huh.
Yeah. She's like, oh, well, that's nice that you're okay. Like, nothing. And then
she has, so they have this moment that night in bed where she's like, hey, so the reason I didn't show up was I was thinking about it when they called me. And I thought about the idea of you being dead and me being on my own, and it made me super happy, and I wish you were dead.
Which is, it's a very realistic, I think. It's a very realistic line. When you're talking about, when you get to a point where you're going to get divorced.
Okay, you've been divorced. You've never been there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you get to that point, that makes so much fucking sense.
I mean, I get feeling that. I can't imagine telling another human being
that I have thought
about you being dead and it made me super happy.
You have to, because you're to the breaking point now.
No, I get that, but just that seems like
if a not you
lot.
Fucking internalize. So the exact, it's very realistic that she is done with the marriage, and she tells him, "Here's why not, and it's because I picture you dead, and then and I was really happy."
Yeah.
And he's like, you were happy that I was dead? And she's like, no, I was happy that I have to put up with this fucking bullshit.
Yes.
That I was happy about. So they get into a big fight. Obviously, they're done.
Yes. Obviously. And up to this point, I'm pretty... I'm trying not to take sides because it's a stupid fucking movie.
Yeah.
And up to this point, I'm like, all right, yeah, you know what? She's just not feeling it anymore. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, for sure. I mean, it's shitty that she didn't pick him up. But he has been shitty to her for a little
bit.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. There's some shitty moments with him earlier. He also eats his steak way too fast. Slow down, motherfucker.
Yeah, he eats his steak and talks to himself.
Like, and yeah, he does. He does. And I'm someone like, when I started working as a teenager, and we would have to like 15 minute breaks, and that would be our mealtime. We wouldn't have lunches. We would just have 15 minute breaks. I would eat like fucking an entire meal in like 5 minutes. Because then I'd also have to go to the bathroom and wash my hair. You do the whole fucking, not hair.
Well, because you're a lady.
I am a lady. I do have to wash my hair.
At work.
Sexist fuck. No, but so you know what I mean? Like I would stuff food down. And even I was like, holy
He's
shit, dude,
eating
slow
his
down.
Food now, yeah.
Like, chill. Jesus.
And he also does a very like subtle, it's again one of those things that makes you be like, fuck that guy.
Well, and the whole time he keeps like kind of forgetting or like just kind of downplaying the things that are important to her.
Yeah, because she has that contract, and then he uses the contract to kill a fly and smashes it into the fucking wall.
And the whole time she's like, oh, I'll get to it later. It's like, well, I gotta sign it tomorrow. Okay, well, I'll read it tonight, I guess.
It is a realistic fight.
Yeah, it is. It is a very realistic fight up to that point. Mm-hmm. And that is... Not to get into, well, actually, fuck,
we're going
to,
yeah,
we'll get into it a bit more probably later. But one of the I like this movie quite a bit.
It is a very good movie.
It's a very good movie. One of my problems with this movie is that it's super realistic until it's not.
Yeah.
And what that leads to is a lot of like, well, but why then? You get to this point where they get into this super realistic argument. And so far to this point, the movie has been, while it's had its funny moments, it's had its dramatic moments and everything, it's been pretty realistic.
Yeah.
And then, so she tells him that, like, the whole thing happens. They break up or whatever.
It's like, I want a divorce.
He leaves. Then he comes back because Danny DeVito's like, hey, you can come back, live in the house. Because he doesn't want to give up the house.
Yeah. Before that.
Because she does a really kind of shitty thing.
She does a very shitty thing.
A really shitty thing.
Which is, they're in like with the lawyer.
He's meeting with her lawyer and talk about their settlement.
Yeah, and then he should be
a fairly simple thing.
Yeah.
But it never is.
It never fucking is. I've known plenty of divorced people.
Yes.
With kids especially.
Yes.
Never a thing.
Yes.
So they're like, all right, well, the kids are going to be 18 in a year. You don't have to worry about it. You just got to pay child support for 1 year.
Yeah, nothing. No problem. Whatever.
No big deal.
She doesn't want alimony.
Which is
incredible.
Unheard of.
Incredible.
Because he makes a shit ton of fucking money.
Yeah.
But she's like, I'm independent now. I got my own catering business.
I'm good.
Yeah. And then the lawyer is like,
as long as you give him the house.
And then he's like, why? I want the house. And then she's like, no, I want the house. But the lawyer is like, she feels like she deserves the house. And he's like, I paid for the house. And then he brings out the note
that he wrote on his deathbed, but on what he thought was his deathbed. Yeah.
Which is, I owe everything that I have now to you.
Yeah.
What a shitty fucking kick to the balls that
is. And that's what really turns him, where he's like,
you will never get this fucking house.
I might have given you the house, but now I'll never do it. Yeah. So.
But to be fair though, she does say like, maybe I shouldn't have given you that letter.
Yes, she does. Yeah. She feels a little guilty about it. Then no doubt.
And we start off.
Her, the fact that she was willing to forgo alimony.
Big deal.
Big deal.
Yeah. Especially because he makes way more money than she does.
Oh yeah, way more.
And for her to be like, I don't want half of your fucking money.
Just be like, look, I'm fine. Just I'll stay in the house. You do you and I'll do me and it'll be fine.
But this is where it gets realistic.
Yes.
Because when it comes to divorce and even relationships, it is just about who wins. And that's
right. It becomes a competitive thing. Yeah. Yes.
It becomes totally about that.
Yeah.
Neither of them have that much to win.
No, but they have everything to lose.
But they have everything to lose, and they fucking throw it all in.
Fucking do. So the point I was about to get to, though, is that here's where you get the first example of Kathleen Turner trying to murder her husband.
Oh, and there's a couple of times when Danny DeVito is like, a man cannot out revenge a woman.
Yeah,
because they will fucking kill you, and it's true.
And this is what. And I don't want to put it on her character necessarily. Maybe it's a screenplay.
And by the end, really.
I mean, by the end, Michael Douglas, they're both fucking insane. I mean,
by the end, they're equally insane.
The whole point of the fucking movie is, and the whole point of the story Danny DeVito was telling to old Danny Homer Simpson over there.
Yeah, good old Danny Homer Simpson.
is that, look, if you're going to get a divorce, just let it go.
Yeah,
because he's like, it's not like you both will be fucked.
Oh, yeah, yeah. His whole point is
But she comes across pretty bad when she tries to murder her husband like 5 times.
Yeah. And he smashes her shit. But again, I mean, that's just shit.
Yeah.
She tries to kill him several fucking times. So the first time is...
So he accidentally... He accidentally runs over her cat.
Yeah. So, yeah, he tries to get a sleeping pill from her through the nanny. Nanny asks her for a sleeping pill. She catches on. She's like, no, you don't get a sleeping pill. So he's like, I got to go get one. He backs out of the driveway, drives over her cat.
She finds out about it.
He also covered it up.
He does.
Yeah. But she finds out about it.
Not cool, but
no,
yes.
Not cool. Finds out about it while he's in this stupid fucking sauna in the basement, which he owns a sauna in this fucking basement.
Yeah, yeah, he's very rich.
Yeah. So she locks him in that fucking sauna, which it's 120 degrees in there.
Yeah.
Locks him in there for a long time. Long enough for him to be losing consciousness.
He's basically passed out. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's delirious and passed out. That's basically attempted murder.
Again, attempted murder. Also kidnapping.
Yes.
If you stop somebody from leaving a place, if you get in their way.
Yeah.
If you stop in a doorway.
I mean, she literally locks him into a deadly situation.
If you're standing in a doorway and you don't let somebody leave long enough for them to call the police, that's kidnapping.
And this is where we get into some of the problem-ish with the movie in that the whole movie up to this point has been fairly realistic, and
it's not a problem. It just takes a turn.
It takes a turn, yeah. Right? So Michael Douglas is a lawyer. Danny DeVito's a lawyer. The whole thing is fairly realistic. Then all of a sudden, people start trying to murder each other, and they just kind of sail right through.
Yeah, it is fucking crazy.
Yes.
So after, and then, you know, I've read plenty of reviews for this, and all the reviews were like, it gets brutal, it gets crazy. Yes. And I was thinking,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Here's the thing. This movie was made in 1989. This is an R-rated movie directed by Danny DeVito. If you make this movie in 1995, this is slapstick bullshit.
Yes.
But in 1995, you get like Home Alone style.
Sure.
Shit. PG-13 bullshit.
Sure.
This is right before it. And it's fucking great.
It's brutal. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And like we said, it eventually gets to horror. So yeah, she tries to murder them. And then things start super escalating.
He cuts all the heels off of her shoes.
Yep.
Which to a woman is big fucking deal.
Sure, I guess.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, it is. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
And then she's like smashing his fucking... Yeah,
she smashes a lot of his shit. And then one of the best scenes, the dinner scene. So she comes up with this whole story to get him out of the house so she can throw a big dinner.
Yeah, so because she's got a catering business, clients coming in.
So she's trying to impress him. Yeah.
This is the beginning of the fucking end.
Yes.
This is really the beginning of the fucking end.
So he comes in.
The kids go,
right? They're off to college.
They're off to college because they're 18 now. They're both in college. They're off to college. Sean Austin plays their son.
Yep.
This is what we're talking about. This is
the Jesus years.
The Jesus years.
Well, the Jesus gap years.
The Jesus gap
years. So just like in the Bible, yeah. Jesus jumps from child to 33-year-old man.
Sean Austin jumped from fucking Goonies
to an adult.
Yeah, to fucking Lord of the Rings or even Rudy. If you go Rudy.
I mean, I like Rudy, but...
But I would say Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Really, he goes from Goonies
to... That's when it becomes a thing. Yeah.
This is right in the middle of that when Sean Austin kind of becomes forgettable. He's not a cute kid no more. He's not a full-grown adult leading guy anymore at all yet.
He's not your friendly neighborhood, like Stranger Things, whatever character he was.
He's a teenager with 10 fucking lines in the movie.
Yep.
That's what you get. But it was cool to see Chuck.
Oh, yeah. No, I love the dude.
Yeah. So they leave.
Samwise for life, son.
Oh, fuck yeah. Best character.
Best character.
Yeah. But they leave and immediately it just goes fucking bananas.
Yes.
He knows about that, and he goes to Danny... Well, Kathleen Turner goes to Danny DeVito first.
Yes, in a very sexy scene.
Yeah, very good scene, actually, because Kathleen Turner... Also, Danny DeVito plays it really well.
Yeah, he does, actually, in a very... I expect him to, like,
be super sleazy, yeah. Especially after we got a foot job
scene. Yeah, of course. Yeah, glass table.
We get a foot job scene. Kathleen Turner shows up, and she's like, hey, I want you to tell him to move out of the house.
Right, and he's like, this is a conflict of interest. I'm his lawyer, blah, blah, blah.
I'm going to record everything you say and all that stuff.
She tries to seduce him. He throws him off.
Yeah.
Does the whole...
She unbuttons her blouse.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, button up.
You know, she puts her foot on his crotch. I remember he's like, I'm in defeat.
It's a great line.
It is a great fucking line. So
if only Joe Pesci would have done that in Casino.
Yeah. No. Maybe it wouldn't have been the same shit.
Didn't do it. Anyways, so he kind of kicks her out or whatever. And that's the first time he smokes, which is a big deal for his character.
It was a big deal in the opening thing about smoking. Yeah.
But anyway, so now they're back and she's throwing this dinner party. He shows up kind of drunk.
He tells Danny DeVito, like, she's throwing a dinner party and she,
like, he knows about it.
She lied to me. She told me that they were going to be spraying for termites.
And Danny DeVito's just like, look, you should just let it go.
She can throw a dinner party. And she's like, she lied. And he's like,
she can lie. Yeah, it's fine.
Which is a good line, actually. Yeah. I feel like if you're a lawyer, a divorce lawyer, that's a line that you use.
Yeah.
You can lie. As long as it's not in the court, it's not perjury, you can lie.
Well, and also Danny DeVito's just like, look, you guys just...
Work it. Sell the house.
Sell the house.
Which makes so much
go
sense.
Go away.
Sell the house.
Yes.
But he shows up in jeans, a top hat.
And like a tuxedo suit, like jacket.
A tuxedo jacket and a fucking
bow tie. But like a t-shirt. Yeah.
First thing he does, sneezes all over the food, blows his nose,
Tosses the tissue into the soup.
Into the soup. And then he's like, I'm going to go piss on the fish.
And he does.
And he goes and pisses on the fish.
Very funny.
It is fucking crazy. That is a crazy man doing that shit.
Yes.
He gets up on the ladder. He pisses on the fish. So her reaction is, fuck your car. She gets in her giant monster truck that she owns. Yeah,
she owns like a jacked up Blazer or Bronco. Yeah. I don't remember which it is now.
Smashes into his old fucking school car that he fucking loves.
And then here's attempted murder number three.
Yeah.
So he runs out to the car, gets in the car, and she runs the car over with him inside.
She's got a fucking...
She has like the bullhorn.
Like a bullhorn thing. Yeah. So she's like, get out of the car. And he's like, you're going to have to fucking kill me. She pushes the car straight in the fountain and again, then attempts to kill over it.
In front of like 10 witnesses.
Vehicular manslaughter.
Yes.
If and he would have died.
This again is the moment where I'm like, okay, up to this point, we've been pretty realistic. 10 people just saw her try and run over her husband. It's done.
But it is one of those things.
Like, it's done. He's going to be like, yeah, 10 witnesses saw her try and kill me. Put her in jail. I'm keeping the house.
Here's the thing. If you are out and about and you see two fucking guys fighting, right?
Sure.
If you see two dudes fighting and a guy knocks another guy out.
Yeah.
And then the police show up. You're like, no, I saw the guy. He knocked another guy out. And that's what fucking happened. If you see a couple fighting, everybody's like, I'm not getting involved with that shit. That is a fucking couple thing. I'm not getting involved with that shit. And I feel like that's exactly what happens. No,
I
don't think
that is not equivalent at all.
No? You don't think
so? No. Because you didn't see a couple... Like, when I see a couple fighting, which you see all of the time, because I'm an alcoholic and I'm in bars constantly.
Yeah, and the alcoholic couples are fighting.
Yes, of course. They are yelling at each other, occasionally slapping or hitting. They are not running each other over with two-ton fucking giant monster
she
trucks.
She tries to kill him. She legitimate tries to kill him.
Yes. Yeah. And, again, there are like 10 witnesses there.
So
she's pretty cut and dry.
She takes off in the fucking truck. When she comes back, he has smashed the stove open.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just like fire.
Yes.
Coming out of the gas line.
Out of the gas lines, yep.
And he's eating her food, which is a shitty fucking.
And he's just like, it's good. It's good.
People Your clients would have really fucking liked this shit, right?
So then they get in a huge fight. She falls down the stairs.
This is fucking crazy. They go up. They're fighting over this fucking statue because
we should mention she has also assaulted him like three times before this.
Yes. She's smashing his statues that he
she
fucking
smashes
loves,
statues.
Which he has unnatural attachment to these fucking stupid statues.
Look, as Buddha would tell you, you got to let go of material possessions.
He has so many fucking statues. It is ridiculous.
They both do. But yes.
And she starts smashing him.
They have too many things.
Out. They fight over it. It's actually a really good scene. I really like that the shot of like when they're fighting over it and she goes down, but she cartwheels down because
she's
a gymnast.
She's a gymnast and then she falls.
And then she falls and gets legitimately hurt.
Bruised, yeah.
And then he's like, good night. And then he goes up.
Which is a weird ending, but yes.
Yeah. And then she's like really bruised and fucked up. And then we just get deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
It's this fucking craziness.
Eventually, he ends up barricading all the doors, and then it becomes almost a horror movie, and it's shot that way.
It is shot. Danny DeVito does a very good job with that.
God, Danny DeVito.
Yeah. Even before, every time that they are fighting, the lighting gets good. There's darkness over their face sometimes.
Yes.
There's like really hard lighting.
The lighting plays a big part of it. The opening credits are also very 50s style.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That opening, it's a very like romantic looking thing.
Well, but also very 50s noir style to it. The fact that they have a full opening credits and it's all like the gray background and the black lettering and everything. If you watch a lot of 50s movies, that's what it is. But also, it's crazy to me sitting here in 2017, almost 2018. Happy New Year, everyone. Happy Probably 2018 when you're hearing this.
Yes, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's a good song. It's a good movie for
it is
for the new
year. For Rebirth.
Yeah.
But it's crazy to me to think 1987, he does Throw Mama from a Train, which is a good movie.
Yeah.
1989, Danny DeVito directs this movie, which is very good and very well directed.
Yeah.
Very well shot.
And very well received.
Very successful. And then to think he only does like three more movies for the rest of his fucking life.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's really crazy.
Also, everybody fucking loves Danny DeVito.
Yeah, he's the
best.
Everybody
who's ever met him has loved Danny DeVito. Like, they all love him.
Yeah, I mean, I've never met him, but again, from every story I've ever heard, he is the best.
All the dudes from It's Always Sunny are like, he is an amazing fucking person.
Yeah. And he's obviously
he's a party animal.
He's an incredible actor.
Yeah.
And just a great, like, personality. So yeah, it's really weird to think that he did not go on to become like a big deal, like
yeah,
director.
This is a movie
like it
cements him.
It right. I almost feel like he should have been like the Mel Gibson type, where he acts, but then he also does like award-winning films.
Yeah, yeah. Like every now and then he does a fucking great. And he stopped. He just stopped. He's got another movie coming out.
He does. Up. Yeah, he's done a ton of shorts.
Yeah, but he just kind of stopped doing mainstream movies.
Yeah, yeah.
After Duplex.
Yeah, he does have. We did look up, at least according to IMDb, he does have a, like a thriller coming up, out soon that he directed that looks. Well, I don't know if it looks interesting, but...
But still, I'm interested it's interesting because it's
Danny DeVito. Exactly, yeah.
So this movie takes a crazy fucking turn into horror movie town.
Right, so now he's, like, hunting her down. At the same time, she's trying to kill him legitimately, like, five times.
They are both trying to kill each other at this point.
Well, I don't know that he is.
Well, he all right, so here's the thing.
Because when he catches her, he tries to rape.
Starts to have sex with her, and he does try to rape her, which is not acceptable.
Clearly. Obviously, obviously,
he very much, and then she uses that
because again, the whole thing. Well, we should also mention the dog, but the whole thing is that he's still
right. Okay.
He's still, at least according to him, he's still very much in love with her.
So they are both trapped in this house.
Yes,
at this point, and it is fucking bananas. And she they both him know that it's fucking crazy. And she leaves him a note: meet for dinner 9 p.m. He gets the note,
which. To me, if I'm getting that note, in this situation, I'm thinking, okay, this is like a fucking peace treaty talk.
Yeah. No, if
he thinks
me,
it's a fucking date.
For me, knowing, I would say it is a fucking trap.
Right. But like we're both wrong in terms of Michael Douglas. Michael Douglas thinks it's a date.
They do a great fucking thing where Michael Douglas is like, I open up this bottle and let it. Let it breathe.
And it's like one of his most expensive bottles.
And she's like, well, I got the Pate, which is what she's kind of famous for. Yes. That's how she started her business. And then he pours her the drink and she's like, I hope it's not poison. And then he picks up the Pate and he's like, me too.
And it's a really tense, crazy moment.
Shots of their faces.
Yes.
Super in their eyes.
Yeah, very Sergio Leone.
Yeah, she goes in to drink it. He goes in to bite it. It's happening. And then they both do it. And then it's good. And then... She's like, we have to do something because we're going crazy. And he's like, well,
I still love you. I still love you. I still think we can be together. And she's like, no.
We've gone to the point of no return.
I don't like you anymore. Like, I'm done.
Again, very realistic.
Very realistic. And this is another one of those moments where she's very understandable and like, look, like, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm like, done. You have to get past your fucking ego and understand that I'm out.
Exactly.
And then... He's like, you don't even know how bad I will get. And she was like, I've gone way past you. And it becomes this whole thing where he's like, well, yeah, whatever.
I mean, we love each other. And look, you're like, I love you. You love me. And look, no one that can make pate like this is that bad.
Yeah. And she's like, well, that trust me. It depends on where you get the pate from.
Yeah.
And then he's like, what do you mean? And she's like, woof, woof. So
because they've already set it up that he hasn't seen his dog in like 2 days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So clearly she cooked the dog
and fed it to him.
Again, 1989, you can't do that.
Very Game of Thrones.
Can't do that shit in 1989.
Yeah.
So you get a cutaway shot of the dog alive in the yard.
Which kind of a cop out.
Kind of a little bit of a cop out, but I feel like you have to do that.
Maybe. Just to make her not a complete monster, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah, to make the movie not fucking banana crazy.
Because at the same time, like I was saying to you, that was her dog too.
Yeah, that was her dog too, like, for sure.
I understand.
Although she was kind of a bitch to that dog earlier on.
She was a bitch to the dog. Yeah. And I understand.
But it's a dog.
You were a cat person and like the dog was more your husband's thing, but still, that's your dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's pretty fucking rough.
But all right, so
that's
even...
not. I did not intend that as a pun.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty rough. Oh, it is also a very shitty thing to do because even if she does that, the dog is still alive. She made him think
that he ate his dog.
That he ate his dog. That's fucking shitty.
That's really shitty.
Yeah. So he loses his fucking mind. He flips it over and then he's nailing fucking tables to the
door. Yeah, that's when he traps her in there. That's when this becomes fucking like Don't Breathe or some like fucking.
She's up
like,
in the attic and she cuts a hole in the wall and she can see him. And then she
tries to drop a fucking chandelier on his head.
She loses a bolt again. And she's like, I'm gonna drop a chandelier on this motherfucker. She seriously
wants to kill this guy. Like, she has tried now like five times to kill this dude.
Yeah. It is also the sexiest that Kathleen Turner gets in this movie.
Oh, the short shorts?
She's like sweaty, short shorts,
no bra,
tank top. Ah, really fuck. And then so when he gets up there, he totally understands that. So he tries to fuck her.
But be honest, Kathleen Turner, short shorts, no bra, sweaty, or Jessica Rabbit?
Oof, that's a good one. That is a good one. Animated Jessica Rabbit. Kathleen Turner, no bra, short shorts and tank top was really fucking solid.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to give it to real life Kathleen Turner in this fucking shit.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised.
I really do love Jessica Rabbit a lot. But
I mean, because that's you like that movie way more than I do.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah,
I fucking love that movie. Yeah. But God damn it, I had never seen Kathleen Turner like that. Like, I thought it was super empowering of her, which is super sexy.
Sure.
I think. And there's a lot of legs in that, and I'm a sucker for legs.
Okay, fair. Yeah.
Also, Kathleen Turner does not wear a bra in this fucking movie.
No, ever.
So the whole time I'm like braless, and then legs. I'm like, I'm on board with that.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. So when he goes up to like, so first he tackles her, and you think like, oh, he's gonna like tie her up or beat her up or whatever.
Yeah, or something.
But he wants to fuck her.
Like, yeah. Which again, not an okay thing.
No.
Not an okay thing. This is past that fucking point. Kathleen Turner has made it very clear.
But in this moment, she's like, yes, yes, yes.
And what did we say when that fucking happened?
Oh,
like, it's a fucking trap.
It's a fucking, well, I went full Admiral Akbar.
Yeah. It's a trap. She almost bites his dick off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She almost goes full Lorena Bobbitt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fucking what you do. He let his guard down.
Yes. He went over he made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
Mistakes.
She almost bites his dick off. And then she pushes him out of the fucking attic onto that table.
It's very brutal.
Yeah, very brutal. And then so at this point, it is fucking crazy.
Oh yeah. No, it's full on.
They're
like
trying to kill each other.
It's full on battle royale.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Which went crazier than I thought it was going to go.
Oh, way.
Way crazier than I thought it was going to go. Because I thought we're going to go into this like midnighty slapstick shit and then like heartwarming shit.
And that's the weird thing about it is because it starts so realistic and then it gets so crazy.
The crazy shit is crazier.
It's super crazy. Yeah. And you keep being like, well, but like this is a comedy. And these people are like biting off dicks.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on?
Smashing shit and fucking just trying to kill each other.
It's really wild. So eventually,
destroying the house.
They have a big fight. Kathleen Turner ends up on the chandelier.
Yeah. So what happens is
it doesn't matter, dude.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
She gets him on the chandelier, and then this is actually somewhat important in that Michael Douglas is like, "Look, I'll save you," and she's like, "No, I got it." She's like, "No, I'll save you," he's so controlling.
He has a right arm that he tried to kill her with.
Right. Exactly. So he tries to latch on, and she's like, "No, it's too heavy. It's too heavy." He won't listen because he's Michael Douglas. He knows everything. This, again, very important to his character. Yeah.
Set up. He knows everything. He clearly doesn't know everything, but he pretends.
Yeah. It doesn't work. He gets dragged onto the chandelier. They're both up there. Danny DeVito shows up because their live-in maid, we haven't talked about because it
doesn't
matter.
Their nanny shows up. Yeah.
Their nanny shows up, calls Danny DeVito instead of the cops for some reason.
Yeah, why don't you call the cops? Call the fucking cops.
But anyways, he's there. They're stuck on the chandelier. Eventually, the chandelier breaks. They both die. Michael Douglas,
back that up.
No. We're not. We're moving forward.
All right, go ahead.
Michael Douglas tries to reach out to her because he still, at least in his mind, is like, this is the love of my life. Like, maybe it's a possessive thing. Who knows? But he tries to reach out to her. She pushes his hand off because she wants none of this shit.
None of it.
Then there is one of the funniest shots in all of cinema where it cuts from them dead, basically, like dying on the floor, to fucking Danny DeVito and this like chubby
maid,
like Russian maid running with this tiny ladder,
7 foot ladder, where they were up in the chandelier. They were up 40 feet high, in the fucking chandelier.
One of just the fucking best shots. One of the best edits. So
it,
good.
It is really fucking good. It's, you got to give it to Nan DeVito for that.
Yeah, it's so funny.
It is fucking insane that that movie ends the way it is.
So
it
then they're both died, and then it just cuts back to Nan DeVito, which again, I expected. I expected that.
I did not expect for them to die.
I did.
Because I thought that Kathleen Turner and Danny DeVito were a thing. Yeah.
So this was another thing. Danny DeVito, halfway through the movie, like he has a call.
Yeah.
And it's his wife, and he mentions he just got married and blah, blah, blah. And we're thinking,
all right, sweetie, thank you. All right, I'll call you back, my love.
And like we're wondering, is it Kathleen Turner? And
I was like, it's Kathleen Turner.
Later in the film, I was like, oh, no, it's the nanny.
Yeah, because they're holding hands. Because
they're holding hands, exactly. Yeah. And
none of it pays off.
It doesn't pay off at all. I think it was just us.
They fucking die at the end of this movie. God damn it. They die at the end of those movies.
That's what happens if you don't let go of your fucking like hate and it like possession.
Fucking crazy. Because even like she's up on the chandelier.
Yeah.
And he tries to get it with that fucking. He tried to kill her with that. He swung at her. He's up in the chandelier. They're both up on the chandelier. And then she's like, I loosened it up because I was trying to kill you. And he's like, that was a pretty good idea on your part.
It's again.
Yeah.
It walks that weird line between like slapstick insanity and also like this is really fucked up.
Yeah, it is super fucked up because they fucking die, which is fucking crazy to me. And well, at the end, Dan DeVito, that's when we get to that point where he tells Dan Castellaneta,
just fucking let her have it.
He's like, be when you are getting divorced, be so generous that you wake up with night sweats.
Yeah.
Or it's like, be so generous you wear night sweats, or what was the other thing he says? It's like, either you give it all or you walk away or some shit like that. Yeah.
But the bottom line is like, just fucking let it go.
Like, let it go. Like, it is not worth the fight.
Which is the thing, having known a lot of people that have went through divorces.
Yeah, again. Yeah.
And you obviously
I've been through a divorce, yeah.
But
it is not worth the fight.
No.
No. I've known so many people that have gone through divorces that I'm just like, here's $20, dude. Just fucking, because they're like, I have nothing now.
Yeah, exactly. It's rough.
Yeah. No, for sure.
But a lot of that and there's even a line earlier in the film where he's like, look, we need to settle this now, otherwise the lawyers just get everything.
Yeah, it is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when you make that much fucking money.
Yeah.
And it is so crazy. It is very realistic in that aspect. That aspect of like, if you don't just let shit go. Like, you're fighting for nothing. Yeah. You're fighting for bullshit.
It's just pride. It's pride. Yeah. Is what it comes down to.
And
it comes down to pride and hurt feelings.
And here's the thing we were talking about. We're two dudes watching a movie.
Yes.
And we're like, she's trying to kill Michael Douglas the whole time.
That's right.
And I wonder if a girl is like, Michael Douglas is a fucking crazy controlling person.
He's an asshole.
Yeah, he is. It is a very realistic movie.
Yeah. I just, in the fact that it is realistic, I feel like after probably, if not the first, definitely the second time my wife tried to kill me, I'd be like, I'm just going to call the police.
Yeah, yeah. There's going to be police are going to be involved in this one. Also, Danny DeVito has a cool line at the end where he's like, what do you get from this other than dog people should marry dog people and cat people should marry cat people? Which goes a long way.
Yes, for sure. So it's a really fun movie, if not entirely balanced all the way through.
It is a very fucking good movie. I was very impressed in the directing.
Danny DeVito, rock on, dude.
Yeah.
But yes, in a new section that I like to call Let's Fix This Shit.
Or Let's Make It Better. If Rocky Balboa just showed up and punched one of them in the face.
Both of them, maybe?
Yeah, maybe both of them and knocked them out. Yeah.
I mean, Rocky would never punch a woman, but
problem solved. So even if he punches Michael Douglas,
I still feel like he really needs to punch Kathleen Turner, though, because she's out of fucking control.
Yeah, she's very fucking out of control.
Maybe if Rocky and fucking Dolph Lundgren.
Both of them showed up and punched.
Yeah.
All right. Just punch them to death, and then that's the end of that.
I don't know about death.
What if Rocky Balboa and Dolph Lundgren just show up to a mansion? Just beat
the shit out of them to death?
No, you don't have to. It's a one punch.
Yeah, well, that's true. They are tanks of people.
Yeah, they're tanks of people. So one punch just flips your fucking head around, breaks your neck, and then they're done. And then, like, they're and then we're like really behind Rocky Balboa.
Rocky.
Remember that time he killed those two people? Rocky. But yeah,
I can't not like him.
As long as you still move up from that to a fight with the Russians, we're still pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, you can't hate Rocky. He's so good. He's such a perfect person.
It's hard to get behind anybody in this fucking movie. And that, I think it that's really a point.
Is.
That's a point.
No, it is. And they do a pretty good job, even though, and I don't know, again, I don't know if this is my viewing as a dude or if this is Danny DeVito's viewing as a man or the writer was a man or whatever.
But it really does.
Kathleen Turner's fucking crazy, guys.
Kathleen Turner's some fucking crazy shit. Yeah. Also, the juxtaposition to that, Kathleen Turner, incredibly fuckable.
Oh, obviously, yeah.
So you can get away with a lot of craziness if
you're that fuckable.
You're fuckable. Sure. Oh, for sure.
For sure.
How much have you forgiven on a chick?
I had a chick draw, and I want to make this very clear, it was not a knife. It was a sword.
Yeah, a sword. Draw a sword on you.
And I still had sex with her several times after that. See?
How much we forgive? We forgive a lot.
Yeah.
That. Yeah. I mean, I know when we'd have a female perspective in this, and we probably should.
Yeah. Well, you know, Emma's schedule. Yeah,
Emma's not here and whatever. But like, we should still have the female perspective in this. But really, we forgive so much.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. But also, like, women just sometimes they have the right to be fucking crazy because. No.
I mean, we're also assholes.
Yeah. We're also assholes. Exactly. But like, how much have you? Yeah, exactly. You had a chick draw a sword on you.
Yeah,
that's fucking insane.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
What if you were just like, I hung out with a dude and he drew a sword on me. He drew a sword.
That story only ends in I killed him. Yeah, exactly. Or we never spoke again.
Yeah. I would be like, did you fight him to the death?
Yeah, yeah.
And you'd be like, I fought him to death or I kicked him out and we never spoke again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With a chick though, you're like, no, I fucked her for 3 weeks, and I would be like, okay, that chicks out.
No, that all makes sense.
That makes sense because you don't want to go into the fourth week on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time.
Yeah, but there's pussy there.
Sex was good.
And it does make sense in that perspective. Kathleen Turner goes fucking crazy trying to kill him. But really, even in that point where he knocks her down, where they're fighting for that thing, and she goes down the thing.
Yeah.
And she goes on the stairs and she's bruised up. I still felt bad for her. Even though they were fighting equally for that fucking thing.
Yeah.
I was still like, ah, that fucking sucks.
Sure, sure.
And that is, it's a...
Well, and that's also, whether it be our upbringing or whatever it is, there is like that protective fucking...
Yeah, that being like, we're stronger than they are.
Yeah.
But it's still ridiculous to be like, I'm strong enough to survive a car driving over me.
Which no one is.
But she is strong. Yeah. She is not strong enough to fall like, down gymnastically. Like 3 stairs. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it is not. If you're talking about equality, that is not equal. Awesome fucking movie. I really fucking liked it.
It was very fun. Yeah. And I liked it a lot.
Other than
the lack of Stallone.
Other than lack of Stallone and Dolph Lundgren. Yeah. Punching people's heads off.
Punching people's heads off, which obviously makes every movie better.
Which fixes everything.
Makes every movie better 100% of the time.
Yeah. I don't think I would change much.
No, no. It's a
very good movie. Really knocks it out of the park.
So, very cool. Would recommend. Would also recommend the following assortment of films.
Let's do some recommendations. All right. I'm going to recommend The Money Pit.
Oh, okay.
Money Pit with Shelley Long and Tom Hanks. They buy a house together that they're going to fix up. They constantly fight over this fucking house, and also it destroys their relationship and then fixes their relationship.
Hmm.
It is nonstop all about this fucking house and all about fixing this house, and they try to one-up each other all the time. Very similar to this, but also in that 90s more slapstick level of relationship and fighting and shit like that. Yeah.
Even though that was 80s, but yeah.
Oh, sorry. No, you're right. It was 80s. It was 80s, yeah. I'm going to go with Money Pit on this.
Nice.
Watch that fucking movie. Tom Hanks, way back when in the fucking 80s, Tom Hanks and like
classic party and shit. Good Tom Hanks.
The best.
Yeah.
Big, the best. All right. What do you think?
All right. I'm going to recommend two things real quick. First off, I'm going to recommend another kind of relationship that doesn't quite work out. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
50 Days of Summer.
I fucking love that movie.
I really
so
like
much.
That movie a lot. And I think it's very funny and charming. And also, I like it's a fact, like, again, spoiler alert, but the fact that they don't end up together.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It's really big deal.
Yeah.
and that he...
It's the point.
It ends with him meeting a girl of Autumn, right?
Yeah, I mean, it ends... Yeah, exactly. It ends with him learning that it's all in him, like it's all in his head.
Yeah.
That Summer represented shit.
He got so attached and so, like, the ideal of love was more important than the person.
Yeah, than the person. Yeah. And that means a lot.
Yes, exactly. And also, I would like to recommend Being Single Forever because fuck that shit. Never get married. Never
I like that do you it. Re-recommended it an ideal.
Do not get married.
Do not get
Never
married.
Never marry.
All right.
Never.
Again, I've been Ever. Married before. Do not get married.
Do not get married.
Do not get married. People, if you're listening to me, do not. You're going to want to get married.
Don't do it.
You were going to feel the pressure from society and you're going to be like, this is the next step up.
Don't do it.
It is not the next step up. You could just not be married.
You could just not do that.
No. You could do
that's
what
a, that's, a, all that's an option.
Age of stagnation, man. All right. So, BoJack Horseman. I'm going to go.
The best.
BoJack Horseman. One of the best things that I've ever seen in any fucking show, especially a cartoon show. And I know we're running long on this, but especially a cartoon show, is the Age of Stagnation speech where they're talking about the child actress.
Yeah. Where they lock in.
Yeah. And they're like, when you're a child actor, nobody wants you to grow up because they want you to be a child actor your whole life. You're cute. You're little. That's what they want. So they keep you at that age. You become stagnant at that age. Most people become stagnant when they get married.
Sure.
Because here's what happens when you get married. Your spouse.
Preach.
Your spouse does not want you to get better because they don't want you to get better than them.
Ah, that's good.
So they want you to stay where you are because if you become better, you become better than them and you outgrow them. And they're afraid of that the whole time. So it's an age of stagnation where when you get married, you level up.
Interesting.
I don't know. Like, it's a weird insecurity thing where you're just like, we're married now, so we're going to stay the same now.
Right. But that's not how people work.
No, that's not. That is heart. That's like a soul crushing.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. All right. So if you take anything away from the podcast, not to not be funny, don't get married.
Yeah. That's also, not a joke. He laughed, but it's not a joke.
It's not a joke. Don't do it. Do not get married.
Ever.
Also, do anything that Dan DeVito does. Because anything that Dan DeVito does is the best thing that you can fucking do.
Being said, if you're listening to this, I love you and I want to marry you. You know who you are.
I do not.
I have
marry
this ring
this
right
guy.
Here. Francisco, how's this ring?
It is a beautiful fucking
beautiful,
ring.
Right?
It
I
is
love
a
you
heart.
So much. I love you so much. It's a heart made of diamonds.
It is fucking beautiful. It is rose diamonds, which are not easy to do. You got to do like an acid bath on them. It is fucking gorgeous.
Thank you, Francisco, for playing along. It was just my dick.
Yeah, no, he brought his dick out.
Yeah.
Again, a rose diamond.
The rose diamond.
Is what we call it.
I mean, look, I got a lot of piercings.
Again, we're bros, so it's not,
it's not cool.
Weird.
It's not gay.
It's not gay. It's not gay. It's not weird. It's not weird. I saw it. I went with it. It's
no,
not weird.
It's fine. It's fine.
So, on that note.
We're going to wrap it up for tonight. It's a long episode, but hey, Happy New Year's. Welcome back to Blockbuster
Very
Nostalgia.
Happy New Year, yeah.
2018.
Thank you for listening to us. We will keep rocking this as much as we can.
Yeah, we are. We're going to keep drinking. We're going to keep rocking it out.
I mean, movies. I feel like one of us is going to live in prison for a couple months, maybe a half a year, but we'll still keep.
You know what?
We'll do what we can.
It'll be fine. Skype.
Yeah, we'll Skype it up.
But
what's the next movie?
The next movie, Steel Magnolias.
Steel Magnolias.
Yeah.
We are going to get some vaginas in on this.
Yeah, we definitely got... Jesus, don't say that.
We're going to get some ladies in on this.
Thank you.
Is that better?
Right. Yes.
We're going to get some women. We're going to get some women in on this.
We're going to get some lady folk.
Steel Magnolias. Because God damn it, if this is not a movie that requires
ladies, type. So until then, though... I've been E.G. Seitz.
I have been Francisco Landin.
Thank you so much for joining us on Blockbuster Nostalgia. We'll be back next week. Until then, hit us up on Gmail, blockbusternostalgia@gmail.com. We're on iTunes. We're on Facebook. That's probably the best way.
Yeah.
Like us. Message us. It's all good. Comments on the episodes. Until next week, good night and good journey.
We love you.